So here we are, 5 weeks just about into the lockdown. I'm wondering how you are. Hope you're okay. Hope your family's well. I hope that you're in a safe place. I hope you've got enough food and that the money's holding out. I hope all of that's okay, but I know that for many of us it's not. And our prayers are with you. Whatever has happened to you in this period, I guess we're all finding out more about ourselves and how we react when everything changes, when our world, as it were, comes crashing down around us. When we turn to the Emmaus Road story, the biblical narrative that was read to us just now by David, we hear of two disciples of Christ, I suppose we could call them former disciples at this point, whose world has come crashing down. Jesus was the one they thought was going to rescue Israel, and now he's dead. There have been weird reports of him being alive, but they were having none of it. Their hopes were dashed, and their fears were raised, and they were just walking away, getting out of their glum down at heart. Are we sympathetic to them? You know, I think we are. Where would we have been if all that had happened? And if we were able just to walk away from the situation we're in now, well, wouldn't we do so? It'd be tempting anyway, wouldn't it? Now, I'm sure Jesus was sympathetic and compassionate because that's what he was like. But to these two, it doesn't stop him giving them a brutal diagnosis of what's happening to them. One of the things I love about Jesus is how straightforward he is. So here's what he says in verse 25. He's talking to them, these guys that are down at heart, and he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You're foolish, you're not using your minds properly, and you're slow to believe, lacking that inner commitment to the ways and plans of God declared by the prophets over many centuries. Foolish and faithless, I guess, something like that. Ouch." It's a brutal diagnosis, but Jesus then goes on to offer a remedy, only it's not a remedy that we would necessarily think of. What do we need when we're scared and running away? What do we need when the diagnosis is that we're not thinking straight and do not have the right attitude? Well, Jesus' remedy is a remedial Bible study. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory, he says. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So, how would you show, using the Old Testament, those are the scriptures that he was talking about, how would you show that the Christ must suffer and then enter into his glory? What passages come to mind? What do the books about Moses first, the books from Exodus through to Deuteronomy, say? God saves a people for himself out of his love for them, not because of their merit. And that saving of them would involve God's mighty acts of power, and it would also involve death and sacrifice, blood sacrifice. Then God shows his people how to be holy, just as he is holy, how he wants them to live. And all of that comes from God's love for this, his new people. And then through the prophets, what would you say about them? They show a kind of litany, I suppose, of God's loving faithfulness to humanity, keeping his covenant every bit as surely as humanity broke it. Time after time, his people walk away, if you like. But time after time, God goes to them and brings them back. And the rest of Scripture, what would you say about that? Perhaps that all the prophets speak of has been God's plan from the very beginning, from way before the prophet's time. A saviour was foretold from the earliest days. A descendant of Eve, we were told, would crush the serpent's head, and a descendant of Abraham would bring blessings upon the whole world. And the saviour, when he came, would die, but would not be held by death. Do you remember the psalm? you will not let your Holy One see decay. And that, and that he'll be glorified too. Another psalm. The Lord said to my Lord, that's God speaking to the Messiah, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Glorification. The Messiah, you see, had to suffer and die and then enter his glory. It was God's purpose that that would be so. For that is how God now buys a new people for himself. How our redemption had to take place in his loving purposes. Don't you wish you'd been there as Jesus taught? The living word, Jesus, speaking life, a new life, into his written word, the Bible. We can hear what effect it had on those two that were there. Were not our hearts burning within us, they said. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. It's a lovely picture. Foolish minds being turned to truth. Hearts which had been slow to believe being set ablaze. Dead hope springing back to life. Souls who'd been wandering away now turning back to Christ. He opened the scriptures, their hearts burned within them, and then he does something familiar, something that they had seen many times before as they'd travelled around with Jesus. He blessed and broke bread, and with their hearts prepared and their minds engaged, their eyes are opened, and now they recognise him for who he is. They're restored and they turn around, restored in faith, turn back to the family of God. And so we see them going now in the opposite direction. So, how is it for us when things go pear-shaped? I wonder, have you turned to the scriptures, to your Bibles, for comfort and direction? I'm glad if you're presently coping okay. But this is going to go on, so we need a strategy. We need a strategy for continuing to cope. There's a phrase you will have heard, it's the five P's. Prior preparation prevents poor performance. It applies to all our lives. We're told to put money aside for a rainy day. We get qualifications to stand us in good stead later in life. And those principles apply to the Christian life as well. Why do we encourage people to read their Bibles, to pray, to worship, to become part of the family of God? One reason, and there are many, one reason is that those who do these things will be equipped in advance for the tough times. It's not too late. Root our lives in Scripture and we will not topple over when the winds blow strong. Following Christ does not, it never has, stopped tough times coming about. We all know that. But it gets us through those tough times, because in Jesus and through Jesus, we receive profound reassurance that we are loved, whatever the circumstances, we are loved. And that in the end, just as he was resurrected from the grave, all will be well.